the People's Parliament with Crystal Austing from the UPP, Alan Springer from Solution Barbados, and Santia Bradshaw from the Barbados Labour Party. Krista, you were making a point before you went on.
Krista. Yes, you were speaking about the power of the communities, and one of the benefits that I wanted to highlight that we in the UPP have recognized is that it is a preemptive strike against some of the challenges that we are now trying to fix at the back end. All of these issues where we have kids going to the government industrial school and whatnot, we're saying that rather than increasing resources for policing and for the government industrial school and whatnot, we need to strengthen our community so that less of our children end up in that direction. So that was the basic point I wanted to make, that our communities really are an opportunity for us to peel back a lot of these issues where violence and crime and whatnot with youth are concerned, so that we can provide them with an atmosphere where they don't have to get into that type of behavior. As a matter of fact, in Haynesville, again, I have to continue to use that as an example. Through the creative arts, we were able to bring down the level of crime again to the point where the police post has been abandoned by the police and is being used for community and cultural activities. And therefore, we're saying that the arts is a pathway as well, and the communities are best postured to provide our young people with that opportunity.
So some questions here from the WhatsApp. Good morning to all. I would like to know, what is the land use policy for future young Barbadians to have ownership of land in this country? Any land use policy for young people in the other parties? Okay, let's move on.
I think that the access to land is certainly a serious area. I represent the largest housing area in the country. Access to housing is a major issue for my constituents, and it's certainly an issue for a lot of other people across Barbados. There are a lot of lands that right now are under the control of the National Housing Corporation, which, as we can see as we drive across both the length and breadth of Barbados, are not being maintained, they're not being debushed. One of the things we've discussed within the Labour Party at length is being able to allow young people to not only have access to land for housing, or people generally, but also to be able to have access to land for agricultural use, and to be able to encourage people, particularly where you have large plots of land that are, overgrown with bush. But if there are young people in communities who have started kitchen gardens and who've started to grow lettuce and other vegetables, why can't we engage a policy now? And the time has come for us to look at those lands, look at the legal ramifications of the use of those lands, and then be able to allocate those lands to persons first within the community and then anybody else on the outside. So that is the way forward, I believe, that the party is thinking. And it is certainly something that we embrace, because we see the need amongst our young people to be able to cultivate things that they can make a living from. People will cultivate what they can earn from.
And that is empowerment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very interesting question, a very relevant one. The thing with land use is, and we've touched on the decentralization of government and devolving government to the 11 parishes. I think that's how we need to begin to address land use, because obviously the land use issue perhaps in St. Michael is totally different to the land use issue in St. Joseph. So I think that will come via breaking down the communities and allowing communities to look at their specific needs. And one of the things we do plan to do is to increase agricultural production. We want to see Barbados beginning to get our hands dirty again in the soil, and we have various things for that. For example, immediately you plant a tree or a vegetable or something on your land, your land tax will be readjusted, and we want to draw young people into that with various agricultural projects and so on. So I think land use is important, but I think it needs to come through a devolved government rather than at central.
All right. Hi, Corey. Can you ask the politicians, will there be more finance clubs, investing, education, stimulating investment after school programs, teaching children about investing in local companies from an early age?
That is at the heart of the UPP's community empowerment policy, providing our young people with that type of education. Again, as I said before, the ecosystem for success for our young people is no longer about go to school, get qualified, get a job. We have to provide them, especially when you consider that the retirement age is 67, the public service is overstaffed. We have to provide opportunities for our youth to get employment, and it will have to come through entrepreneurship and business ownership. As a matter of fact, we have a mantra in the UPP, we want to see a business in every household. And if it can come through our young people not just those who are of traditional working age, but if they're still in school and can start a business, we are all for that. And we believe that at the community level, this is where that type of knowledge can be passed on. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to set up a series of TED Talks type motivational sessions in my community to provide the young people with that type of insight so that they can hear from persons who have walked the path, especially those who would have grown up in that same type of environment, to give them that inspiration and let them see that their circumstances do not have to be their final destination, that they can overcome, as you said, it's not easy, that they can overcome the challenges that they may be facing in life through this type of non-traditional education in finance and in business. To elevate themselves and to earn a living for themselves and their families.
Right. Corey, I think the conversation in the country and at the political level has to change. We can only empower our people if we are saying the right things to encourage people to be entrepreneurial first and foremost. So take, for instance, I have a number of young people who come to me and say they've come out of school, they wanted a letter for water authority or sanitation. The culture that we have created is almost a dependency that the politician is supposed to get you a job doing a debushing program. That needs to change. We need to be able to teach our young people from a young age that they can be entrepreneurial. So things within schools where you give them a sponsor worksheet where they walk around in their bag, that needs to come to an end. We need to teach our young people, as they do in the private schools, to be able to be entrepreneurial and to think about marketing and exporting the things that they make, whether with their hands or that they manufacture. Because if that thinking does not change, if it isn't starting from the very top, if it isn't at the on the discourse of the political leaders and the political directorate, then we will continue to perpetuate a system where we continue to ask ourselves, why are the young people coming out of school and they're going to be politicians for a job? So we have to start as political parties to change that conversation at the community level. We have to also act in a way which reflects that no, we are using young people. For instance, there are a number of young people who have been awarded by the Queen for their contribution to national development and the various programs. We have to find ways now to be able to use those persons in communities. I, for one, have utilized a number of the youth leaders that have been honored by the Queen recently within the same community center. Because again, as a young person, I was at the vanguard of being involved in environmental awareness and forming community groups in opposition to narcotics. I believe as somebody who's come through the system that I have to find vehicles to be able to give back to those young people out there. Because if nobody invested in me, I wouldn't be where I am today. So there has to be a change of thinking of the political leadership if we are going to, encourage our young people to be entrepreneurial.
This one says, this morning, Corey had asked the new executive of the Social Workers Association to write a position paper on the importance of social workers at the level of policy in dealing with the current social problems to share with the political parties. The executive thought it would have been too political, shake my head. Kindly ask the panel which of the parties engaged the skills and evidence-based information that social workers have to inform their manifesto or policy positions. Now, we got like 2 minutes to go, so quickly, have social workers.
I want to respond to that. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to disaggregate our data more. We, for example, speak of 30% youth unemployment, but we need to find out how many of them are actually qualified. How many of them, for example, were at UE and had to drop out because of the changes in the fee structure? How many of them have a
I agree with our point, but to answer this person's question, do y'all use any evidence based or skills from social workers to inform your manifesto or policy position?
Yes, Corey. I think I can speak very firmly that the Barbados Party has done that.
The Solution Barbados do that?
I would have to say I don't know.
Okay, good. Yeah. Did the UPP do that?
I don't think so. But okay, certainly good. We are open to sharing our policies with persons of that ilk to make sure that they are grounded in good theoretical practices.
Okay, thank you very much. It's time for the regional roundup. So we go to the OCM Network News to find out what's going on with our brothers and sisters across the region. It's gone quarter afternoon in Barbados. You're listening to the People's Parliament, where we have representatives from the UPP, Crystal Austin, Solutions Barbados, Alan Springer, and the Barbados Liberal Party, Santia Bradshaw. We don't have any representatives from the Barbados Integrity Movement or the Democratic Labour Party. But we continue, nonetheless, on this People's Parliament, inspiring and empowering our youth. Let's go right to the telephone lines and see how many calls we can get between now and the latest at 12:30. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the People's Parliament. Just get ready. We're coming to the telephone lines. Let's go. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Yeah, I apologize for having you waiting so long, but good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Let's go again. We have a little limited time. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Okay, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon to you, sir. Right, no. Can I get on the program?
Yes, please. Go right ahead. We put you in direct life.
Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Go right ahead. You're live on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, and good afternoon to the distinguished guests that we feel there.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. What I would like to say, the parties and things they are doing, about to do a very good job, which I'm sure. The honest thing that I find with the parties is that when it comes to the crime situation and things, nobody seems to be talking about that. You know, everybody seems to shun and duck that. I wonder why, you know. But what I mean to say, it is something that needs tackling to the ground. But at the same time, we don't really want to paint a bad brush. You're not painting a bad brush to make it look like it is a bad, or the worst place in the world. But I would like to see the politicians say what they think about crime, what they intend to do about it to discourage people, you know, from it, you know.
I want to put this to you this way. We had a People's Parliament dealing specifically with crime. And one of the things that came up over and over is that we need to look at the root causes of crime. And a program like today, how we inspire and empower more youth, is actually a solution to the crime. Because if we are able to inspire them and get them into these cultural programs and sports and, you know, get them motivated about academia and skills and vocational training, then we will have less crime. So we want to move from kind of like the symptom and go to the cause. And that's what this program is about today. So thank you very much. I got some questions here from more questions from you guys. I don't know if I'll get through all. No, I know I will not get through all of them. But let's go and let's talk a bit about some of them. Some questions here. This one says, good morning. My name is Barbara Barker. I'm a Bajan living in the U.S. My comment is based off the topic in terms of when high school ends for Barbadian children and businesses don't want to hire at 16 or 17 years old. If business don't want to hire at 16 years old, high school graduates, even those coming out with 5 or more certificates, then why shouldn't we allow them to stay in school 2 years longer? Besides the SJPP, are there other post or other post-high school programs or employment preparation programs for young people who neither have the grades nor funding to go to college or university? So basically, I'm thinking that they're either proposing they stay in school 2 years longer, or what would your party do in relation to engaging them for that two-year period?
I believe I mentioned this before, Corey, in terms of our view that business development and business ownership is something that needs to take place in every household, and we are actually very much encouraging for young people below the typical working age to be able to start businesses. So from as early as primary school, we believe that they should be primed and given the exposure of around businesses and challenged to set up their own businesses, so that by the time they reach that age, there would not be a case of them not knowing what direction to move into. For example, we have this $20 challenge that we do for the kids. And I find, again, we have these little best practice pockets where one or two scenarios are working well, but we're not replicating them across the nation. And this is where our community centers and decentralizing these types of programs would come in to ensure that all of our young people are given the opportunity to develop businesses. And again, leveraging the creative sector, those talents that are naturally occurring in Barbados, all the musicians, the singers. We even have young people doing software development. They're not only to download apps. The UPP wants our kids to upload apps as well. And we'll be going into the communities to provide them with that type of skill.
Before you go any further, someone asked a question. How will future governments look to protect young app developers? A young app developer created an app for World Cup Cricket 2007. His idea was hijacked by a larger entity and he lost everything. And no one from government looked to assist him.
Definitely need to ensure that the intellectual property law framework is strong. because more than the idea being stolen, even if it was stolen by someone here, we've had examples of many of our young people with good business ideas and high foreign exchange earning potential registering those businesses outside of Barbados. We want Barbados to be the domicile so that the foreign exchange can come in to the country. So definitely providing them with that intellectual property law support to ensure that those things do not happen. I'm sure Santia, being more of an expert on that area than I am, would be able to speak to how we can put those safeguards into place. But for sure, we know that there are people in the industry like Santia who have that skill in intellectual property law. We'll be bringing them to the table to ensure that we protect our young people's ideas.
Before any of y'all jump in on this one, I want to add this to it because this adds a new concept of education and in our young people, and I want to link the two WhatsApps together. This one says, good morning, Corey. We stuff too much into our children too early. Then we parents pull our pockets to pay the same teachers to bring them up to scratch in two subjects. We copy everything else from the US. Hence, we need to keep them in lower school until 14. During that time, you would know early who's academic and who's commercial. Then the next 4 years, the academic will go to specific secondary school and the others will be directed to schools designed to deal with commercial skills. Keep all in school until the age of 18. I'm sure the blocks will be less occupied. There were two other WhatsApps here. The concept I want to bring is that they're saying in the U.S. you start high school at 18. Mm-hmm. So that in another WhatsApp, I'm not going to look for it now, but I'm going to refer to it. They're saying that really and truly, even if you come out of school then at 18, you have a better chance of being employed instead of having them out of school at 16. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that? Well, that's a fundamental change.
Our job market is in the tank. So even if they come out at 18, retirement age is at 67, there are no jobs. We have to create jobs. And this is why we're saying we have to diversify our economy, create a new sector, and the creative economy, which is bigger than tourism, has the potential to generate $3 billion for Barbados if we can get that 1%. Similar to the 1% we get from tourism.
But let's look at all the objectives of the suggestion. The suggestion is that we have more time. We talk about how you talked about, particularly Crystal, how overwhelmed the teachers are. So in terms of keeping them till 14, you get more time to add things to the syllabus. One, you actually have them for a longer period of time, so less time for lagging in between 16 and 18. So there are various objectives and positives. How do the parties see the positives, the pros and cons, and weigh them? And is this something that we are willing to go? Because I know we are always afraid of change.
Let me go back to the first caller.
All right, you go, Alan, and there you, Satya. Satya was trying to get it for one. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. The first caller talked about the 14-year, keeping them on a set curriculum until they're 14 so that we get an understanding of what their interests are and so on. I want to take it right back to that 11 plus because that is the problem. You see, the 11 plus was created to decide on which school youngsters would go to. It's very relevant.
We're dealing with solutions here. Let's have another problem.
Right. Keep them in school until 18. Mm-hmm. Full-time education should be until it's 18.
Okay.
After that, and one solution Sweden, for example, has, after that, at 18, they're given a grant from the government, and they're told to go and explore the world. So again,
bring your hand here, man. Santia, let's hear you. We're coming up to 12:30. So, but no, I just want to get what you would do, because what we can do, you see me writing down times too. So we can actually pull out these things. So whoever wins, we can send y'all a recording of everything that you said. So actually, go for another minute.
That is one thing that at 18, you're still not looking for the world of employment in a lot of countries. You're still exploring. Now, our exit strategies from school is 1, employment. 2, entrepreneurism and small business. 3, skills training. 4, internship. That's something that we don't think about. Paid internship. 5, agricultural programs. 6, creative industries programs. 7, a community project. 8, the military. They're all exit strategies out of school that are part of Solutions Barbados Solutions for our youngsters. You want me to be specific? That's being very specific.
No, and I congratulate you.
I can obviously expand on those, but they're the specific things. We have exit strategies for every young person in Barbados, no matter what level they're at, no matter how academic or vocational they are. There has to be exit strategies to meet all those needs. And what I've just outlined there is is will meet all the needs. There's one other thing I must touch on. Coming out of school, tertiary education costs young people. I don't think tertiary education should cost, because those young people have now left, in a sense, the full-time statutory education, but there's still our responsibility to get them into jobs. So therefore, so long as they meet certain criteria, if they want to go into tertiary education, that should be seen as the beginning of job creation rather than an extension of the full-time education system. And therefore, it should be part of our responsibility to those young people to train them into the world of work.
Cynthia Bradshaw.
Well, I want to take the approach that they, you know, there have been a number of, I think we've all recognized that what the issues are. Mm-hmm. The Barbados Labour Party position is that, yes, we understand that there are young people who are coming out of school and they don't have the certificates. We also recognize there are some who are coming out that, you know, have the certificates and they do want to go into work. And we've basically said that we're committed to providing a national apprenticeship program as well for young people. We've also spoken to a first job, national first job program as well for young people between the ages of 16 to 25, so that they can be able to access a government subsidized placement at a business in their particular field of interest. Again, it is about changing the way in which businesses also view young people. But I mean, we know that we will have to put in place things that prepare young people for the world of work. Certainly, when I qualified in the UK, I had to undergo a system of pupillage. I had to work with a pupil master. I had to shadow someone in order to be able to understand the intricacies of practicing law. Those are things that the Labour Party understands, and the Labour Party is committed to ensuring that our young people are paired with people and paired with organizations that will be able to help them to develop. We also, as you would recall, would have spoken at length about the University College of Barbados as acting as an intermediary for persons leaving school and then going on to university. And I think with all the issues that we've seen within education in terms of young people not meeting the matriculation requirements going into university, I think that now more and than ever is something that the Barbados Labour Party remains committed to going into the next general election as well. We've also indicated you know, that there will be trust loans as well for people, particularly young people who may have ideas and who may be able to access, say, $5,000 in relation to having a registered small business, because people will be at different levels when they come out of school. And we need to be able to, going forward, to be able to capture our young people at various levels of their development as well. And most importantly, and I'm glad that the panel has agreed, particularly Mr. Springer, the Barbados Labour Party has committed to the fact that we believe tertiary education must remain free. We have seen the dismantling of tertiary education by the Democratic Labour Party administration, disadvantaging many households, persons that I know who have not been able to continue their education, not be able to pay for their education. And we have said very clear that is one of the things in relation to education that the Barbados Labour Party stands by.
Let me end this segment and provide for a bit. This is for the next. This one says, "Hi Corey, must congratulate you on the high level of mature discussion this morning on youth related issues. Well done to the guest and VOB." And also this one, it says, "This is actually the best group I've heard on the People's Parliament." It's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. We're on the People's Parliament on Down to Brass Tacks, May 8th, 2018. Inspiring and empowering our youth, with Crystal Austin of the UPP, Alan Springer from Solutions Barbados, and Cynthia Bradshaw from the Barbados Labour Party. We're going until 1:30 today because we make way for fireworks. So apart from the political fireworks, we also have the cultural fireworks as we prepare for our season of Crop Over 2018. Yes. So I want to go to the telephone lines as I line up a number of questions coming in here for individual candidates in the studio. But let's hear from our telephone lines at 17 minutes before 1. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. The problem with this format is that you guys set the topics and then, there are some things that you will probably purposely ignore, things like financing issues and bookkeeping of parties and that kind of thing, which I will go find a way to slip in if we don't ever get a chance to talk again in this particular forum. My name is Art, and I talk to you people all over the place when I see you. And on radio, well, first time perhaps.
Welcome.
I like that Cynthia Bradshaw. I think she's in the wrong party, that's all. But I like that person. I think that if Cynthia Bradshaw became the leader of the Barbados Labour Party, let me tell you, they got my vote. big time. I think she's a class act, without doubt. Not to say, but I mean, you know, the way she represents herself, and no real hassle. She don't want to shut you down. Very intelligent. The other people there are also very extremely intelligent and stuff. But let me tell you, anyhow, enough of that fluffiness thing. You know, it's nice you spoke about crime and youth, and then introduced it as okay opportunities for the youth that needs to be done, and that meant into the business types and thing, which is great because at least I can somehow putting something edgewise. There are two types of businesses, perhaps, in Barbados. You could categorize them by people who actually charge for the time and the people who actually charge for the product that they produce. They're two separate, completely different types of operations. Invariably, when you go to any kind of seminar that's being presented by someone who charges for the time, they don't even have a true concept of what it takes to deal with a product, a tangible, and getting it out there, particularly in the Barbados environment. It's very possible under both parties that a service sector person could walk into an agency, government agency, and say, I want to do a study, I don't know, on the way birds fly in Barbados at a particular time of the year. And that person could walk out with $400,000 in grant money, an academic. $400,000 in grant money to that study, and that could go in his pocket, or that could go for help. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I wasn't hearing the echo in the back. That means they probably got cut. Too much experience. An academic could walk into the same agency and say, let me tell you something. I want to do a seminar. I want to teach people how to run a business. And it would take about 2 or 3 days. I'll walk out with $30,000 or $16,000, $1,000 in grant money that they can pocket for their skills or any other kind of materials that they need to have this thing pull it off.
I'm trying to find the link between what you're talking about and our topic today, with inspiring and...
Caller.
We're trying to keep on topic today, inspiring and empowering our youth. So I'm trying to make the link. Helping me to make the link, please.
Yeah, of course, you know, the link will be made, all right? So if...
Got it made within time.
You guys, you read all the emails and stuff and everything else. So everybody in this program, patience is something you got to have or you can't take part.
You got to, brevity is the art too as well, because one of the things I like about the emails, the WhatsApps, they don't go on and on. They're paragraph, you read it, and you get to the get down to brass tacks. All they're asking you to do is to get down to brass tacks.
There are a lot of intelligent people at that table, and the reality is that if they you got to explain things to them for them to get it. All right, you just go in one sentence or two sentences and expect that they're gonna pick up on and run with it. All right, is that kind of situation where you recognize that you're dealing with some kind of disparity in how you perceive young people and the kind of stuff that they get involved with? You walk into a particular agency and say, "I have a product to sell, and I need money to promote it," and they can get no money, or they probably get $2,000 or less, because that is not seen as important as doing a study or teaching somebody how to do something as a particular consultant. It says to young people who are actually going through that kind of process that perhaps if you're non-academic, if you're a so-called commercial, or the other word that people like to throw around called vocational, you are in no way in the same need as people who come up with these academic courses who can present themselves as time, people who charge for time, and who can actually do studies and teach people how to do stuff, because you will not be treated that way when it comes to getting funding. So that is a significant issue when it comes to both parties, and it demonstrates that they don't recognize people who actually present the marketplace with tangibles as being that important. So unless, you could somehow address that perception that you have of people. And the thing about it is, the overwhelming majority of people in Barbados are vocational. They're going to have something to produce that the rest of the world will want to buy, or the rest of the marketplace will want to buy. And they cannot charge for their time.
But I invite commentary from you in relation to two parties put on the table, the methodology that they would actually put opportunities there to engage in what you're talking about. And one party specifically spoke about breaking it down from a philosophical level, where they would introduce more so a skills-based assessment as opposed to an academic-based assessment.
No, we're talking about access to funding.
Mm-hmm.
Access to funding, where it's far easier for individuals.
But the UPP, and BLP, right, I understand. The UPP and the BLP spoke about their programs in relation to the policies that they would bring in terms of the loans program, the entrepreneurship program, the internship program, the first-time employment. Well, that's a little different, but the two parties. And Solution is saying that they have it too as well.
Yeah, but Grant is something completely different. Grant is saying that we so recognize your skill that you're not even prepared to ask you for your money back. we're going to give it to you to encourage you along. A grant fund is an encouragement fund.
So you want the grant fund to be facilitated by
if
the government?
If you're going to be granting, of course, if the government is going to be granting one type of operation, which is the people at charge for the time, let them grant the other people as well. You have a whole ministry of people, both in the cultural industries people, the cultural people, as well as the National Cultural Foundation, who draw salaries because they provide services to the same cultural industries. That money never goes directly to the practitioners. It goes through to them as taxpayers' money, yes, but because the cultural industrial practitioners are the excuse for them to draw that salary.
Well, what about UPP's idea about...
Caller. You cut across me.
But I have to cut across you because you are going on and on. You can go on Facebook and say what you want, but let me tell you, what I want is something productive from the program. I'm not getting it yet, okay? I'm asking you, what about UPP's contribution where they say that they will facilitate people in this grant writing and getting grants from outside? It may be better than taking up taxpayers' money and issuing grants. So can you speak to that?
Again, the grants are provided to all of the academics, whether they're going in for to do reports or to do training. All of them come from taxpayers. Every last one of them. They're not, well, maybe the Chinese. No. If you get a grant from the European Union, chances are the European consultants will be the primary beneficiaries of that particular money. But if it's taxpayers' money, you can bet it going to lawyers and stuff, or the accountants and stuff who will be giving courses, or the PhDs who are doing the academic work. It's coming off on taxpayers. So if there is grant money available to provide, I'm glad they're making a living and they can pay for their homes and they can provide for their children. I am glad. But if you do have money available that is taxpayers' money that is being given to these guys as grant, we don't want your money back. We don't want you to pay that. Put that money or make part of that money or a greater percentage of that money available for people who provide tangibles.
That's something I can sink my teeth in. So the candidates, he's saying, let's make greater, I don't have the information for me. I know there are grants for some and everything. And I know the grants should go to the program. So I don't know what the academics, if they go to lawyers or whatever. But he's saying, regardless of what the position is, make a greater percentage of the grants to people who actually get into the productive sector. Let me call that word for him at risk of misquoting him. What are your thoughts on that?
I want to say, first of all, Corey, I appreciate the caller's comments, but I want to make it abundantly clear that there's one undisputed leader of the Barbados Labour Party, and so long shall that be. Now, with respect to the issue of the Barbados Labour Party's position in relation to what the present caller has raised, I think that it is important that with all of these ideas that are being thrown out, that the fundamental point has to be that you're going to require firm and decisive leadership in relation to moving forward in relation to the issue of education or even in relation to the issue of youth and entrepreneurship. The Barbados Labour Party has a team that is made up of people who are experienced. We have a leader of the party who has held the position as Minister of Education. She's held the position as Minister, as an Attorney General of this country, and other portfolios. You have other people who have also been in these areas in relation to youth development and entrepreneurship. There are people coming to the fore, certainly myself, who's been involved in the aspect that the caller spoke about, applying for funding as a young entrepreneur. And I agree with him that there are some areas that need to be addressed in relation to where the money goes and how money is, in particular mobilization of funds for persons who are young entrepreneurs, how that money is actually dealt with. But again, the point that needs to be hit home is that the Barbados Labour Party has the experience that is necessary right now in relation to being able to move forward, to allow our young people to be able to access these funds. Neither of the other two political parties are in a position to claim that credit that is now necessary to be able to move us forward. We have leadership that has been tried and tested in relation to these issues. We've set up things like the Youth Entrepreneurship Scheme, Project Oasis, Enterprise Growth Fund, the Cultural
But he's
Actual
talking
Fund,
specifically the grants
funds.
For, and these provide grants.
Yeah.
So,
yes,
Carla, were you aware?
Capital.
Carla, were you aware of the venture capital and grants provided by these organizations? He's gone. Continue.
All right, I want to jump in here. Right. Mm-hmm. On the topic of moving forward with funding for our young people and innovation, this is why I made the point earlier, Corey, that you need to twin your social strategy and your economic strategy together. There's not a chicken and egg situation here. Both of them have to move forward together. And the United Progressive Party really is the only party that has come not only with promises, but we actually have a viable solution to our core problem right now, which is foreign exchange earnings. All of this grant funding that we're discussing is not going to be possible in this very tight environment that we're in. We have to redeem our economy by way of earning additional foreign exchange. And our plan, as we've said thousands of times, in addition to redeeming the tourism sector, wherein there's no longer a direct correlation between our arrivals, which are up 5.8%, but our real value added is down 1%, where our international business sector is an abysmal failure, having fallen from 300 million now down to 90 million. This is the reason why our young people are struggling, because at the economic level, we're making decisions that are disenfranchising them by not making the foreign exchange strides that we ought to make. And the UPP has looked at the creative economy, and we've said that this is a sector that Barbados can easily capitalize on, and in the short run, generate a significant amount of foreign exchange that can then be put into funding these programs for our young people.
Let me ask you this question. Are you familiar with the grants that exist currently coming out of taxpayers' money, government grants?
Not as solidly as I would like to.
But I don't know either. But he's saying make a greater proportion towards the actual players as opposed to the academics or the lawyers or so on, it going to the program. Is that something you agree with?
Yes. And this is why we said that we want to take this work into the communities. Because with the established system, the traditional professions are the ones that really dominate. We are saying that it's time now that the lawyers and the accountants become the support services for the creative sector, as opposed to the creative sector being the footstool wherein you're called in to just come and sing for fun or sing for free. You take pictures for free and they treat it like a hobby. We're saying that this sector must lead from the front, and then we provide the intellectual property law support to ensure that they can develop their businesses, export that potential internationally, but also ensure that it is protected. But we cannot continue to implement policies wherein the foreign exchange is not being generated. And I'm hearing a lot of promises about we're going to give back this and we're going to give back that, we're going to increase non-contributory pensions and all these things. The money has to come from somewhere, and the United Progressive Party is the only party that has really put forward a solid strategy via which we can redeem our foreign exchange reserves and therefore fund these very important projects so that our young people, the future of our nation, can have a better shot.
Okay, let me come in here. There are two particular points the caller mentioned that I want to pick up on. The first dealt with the way in which funds are made available to government infrastructure and extending something that Crystal just said. And then those funds are used to somehow use our creative artists in particular as employees of government. Those funds need to go directly to our artists, who then become the producers rather than working on behalf of bodies such as the NCF and so on as employees. So we need to restructure how creative artists access funds from government, and that needn't be through bodies such as the NCF, but directly our creative artists needs to be seen as producers themselves.
So you would advocate the money going directly to them or their management, because I figure it's their management that would probably handle that.
Or their management.
Same thing.
Working on behalf of them.
No
yes,
problem.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Vilmot Sincere says here, he's a writer in Barbados. He says, we do make a big mistake focusing only on this strategy, which has brought the economy down. In reality, we've had more doctors now than a decade ago, but did it improve the economy? No. Sorry.
I want to continue because that actually comes into
what
I was going to say. The other thing is that we need to look at a different culture. You see, the funding and grant culture isn't where we need to be going. We need to look at venture capitalism and investment culture. And we at Solutions Barbados do have a plan to bring back a national bank to Barbados, whereby the National Bank is not run from a high street, Broad Street branch, but we want to put the National Bank into our local post offices. Each post office will have a counter in the post office, which from which the National Bank operates. so that local artisans and artists have direct access to going into the bank, who will help them with business proposals for their products, business plans, and investment opportunities for their products to bring in the national, the foreign exchange we're talking about by exporting, not themselves. Everybody can't be a Rihanna who goes up to lives in the US, but exporting our products. That's what we really, really need to look at. We need to look at a product enterprise in the creative industries, whereby our market is a global market for our creative artists, and to tap in to some of that projected income for the Americas in the creative industries. The creative industries are seen as the industry that is guaranteed to grow exponentially over the next 10 or 20 years in the Americas. And Barbados needs to be part of that industry. And we really need to do something about our creative artists and move away from a grant culture and move into proper investment and proper income for the artists and a contribution to the Barbados economy.
1 o'clock, this is the People's Parliament on Don't Arrest Acts.